Time is 8:07, currently in downtown Wausau at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Fair skies, some clouds out there, but another mild start. 45 degrees is the temperature. We're going to see some changes in the weather as we get towards later this evening, and we'll find out all the details with Brittany Merlot in a few minutes. But first, let me say good morning. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Tuesday morning, the 16th day of April of 2024. And hopefully your day is off to a great start. Coming up on the program, as I said, in about 12 minutes or so, we'll be joined by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, to talk about a rather wet and rather breezy system that is moving in. A drencher coming starting later on this evening, and we will get all the details from Brittany Merlot at 8:20. Then, after an information update at the bottom of the hour, we're going to do something we haven't done in a while. We're going to step outside the bubble, going to talk to a conservative just to get a little sense of what's happening outside my little bubble here in this studio on in downtown Wausau. We'll go outside the bubble with Oliver Burrows. I'm going to talk a little bit about what are the thoughts right now of the conservatives that he is speaking to in terms of now knowing that Donald Trump is going to be the nominee while he is on trial for felonies. This whole dichotomy is so very odd, and it's so very different than anything this country has seen before. And got some questions, because again, there's things that I don't understand. I just don't understand a few of these different aspects of the reason of this incredible affection that so many on the right have for this guy that really, when you look at him, there's really no reason to be affectionate about. So I'm going to step outside the bubble, try to learn a little something, have a discussion from a different point of view with Oliver Burrows coming up at 8:34 this morning. Also, during the course of this program, especially in the second hour, but even as we get things underway here in the first segment, I'm curious to know on this day, on the 16th of April, where a new mayoral term is beginning in the city of Wausau, what your thoughts are. What are the thoughts on a new mayor beginning his term today as Doug Dinney will be sworn in as the newest mayor of Wausau? What are the things that you would like to see from the new mayor? What are some of the things maybe that you're nervous about in terms of the change at City Hall? And just generally, I want to get your thoughts, because sometimes I'll hear people say, why do you say this? Why do you talk to this person? Why do you do this? Well, time now for you to step up. It's time for you folks out there to have your voice be heard, and especially we're going to take some time in hour number two of the program, but even here in this first segment, I am curious to hear your thoughts, whether it's through a text or through a call, because we do have a number. You can either call or text us at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297, and I'm very curious as we start a new era, because every time there's a change in mayors, a change even in council, and we have today the organizational meetings, both of the Wausau Common Council and the Marathon County Board, what are the things that you're looking for now as we move forward past the spring election, in terms especially of the city of Wausau and its government, and even Marathon County and its government? The things that you would like to see, maybe the things you hope to see, and the things maybe you're fearful of seeing. Just your thoughts. Again, 715-382-9297 to join us as we continue in this program on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. But before we move any further, need to say hello, good morning, and howdy to our in-studio engineer and our producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Hello, good morning, and howdy, Chad.
There you go. And another nice start here in central Wisconsin. We're into the middle part of April, and spring, I think, has sprung, but we're going to have some of those April showers coming up. But also, again, you are in the, what is it now, like, is this your third week of rehearsals now?
I believe this is week number three, yes.
And you had another rehearsal last night, and again, what show are you currently involved in?
It is Cole Porter's Anything Goes.
Anything Goes, that was Wausau Community Theater.
Very fun musical.
So far, so good, basically. It seems as though that's what you've been saying. So far, so good. You're enjoying the cast. You're enjoying the process.
We had a good... We've already got a good head start on the singing and the dancing, and then we've kind of shifted over to the blocking and the acting and working on the lines and character placement and things like that. Just kind of slowly easing into it. Last night was very productive. Especially for my lines as the captain.
What point are you at? Are you still on book? And where are you right now?
Oh, we probably won't be off a book until probably like the beginning of May.
Is he still like the blocking? And again, I've never done a musical, so I know it's a little bit different that there are aspects of a musical that are different of a straight play. But so you have to work on a lot of the singing and the dancing along with the actual blocking of the spoken word.
The difference between a straight play and a musical is with a straight play, you just start working on the lines right away and memorizing them and trying to get off a book as fast as possible, whereas with a musical, if you focus more on the, first you focus on the singing, and you can move on to the dancing and try and put those two together, and then after you get comfortable with that, you start to move towards the learning the lines and the placement of your character for certain scenes. I think we're just kind of getting into the a third part of that process. So we're still on a book. Probably won't be off a book for a little bit yet, which is a good thing because I don't think we're quite ready for that yet.
And also a quick reminder that coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to some other very talented performers. Coming up this weekend at Wausau West High School, there will be another production. We had a lot of productions last week in the area. A couple of the high schools, D.C. Evers and Wausau East, had their spring shows. But Wausau West will be having their spring show coming up this week. It is Our Town, one of the classics of American theater. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have some of the cast members join us in studio tomorrow to talk about that. They'll be with us in the second hour of the program starting, I think, at 9:34, if I'm not mistaken. I left my schedule on my desk back in my office, but I think it's 9:34 tomorrow that we'll have a segment with the cast members from Wausau West. And again, it's very nice to be able to talk to some of these very talented students. And that's something that I'm very happy to be able to do, because so often we talk about maybe some of the issues that are going on within the schools. But there are so many good things that are going on, so many talented students, whether it's academics and whether it's extracurricular activities. And, of course, I spend a lot of time seeing some student-athletes involved in their sports. But, boy, there's so many others that are involved either in music or in drama or in marketing. We have these FBLA and DECA competitions as well, state competitions and state winners from our area. And there's really so much that is going on that I think a lot of people don't know about. And it's wonderful to be able to put a spotlight, that's obviously a theatrical term, but a spotlight on some of these talented folks. And tomorrow morning at 9:34, we'll be talking to these students from Wausau West.
Oh, yes. It should be a very interesting show. Yeah. I haven't actually been a part of the show myself, but I have heard a lot of good things about the show.
And Our Town has been one that's been done over and over and over again. It's one of those staples, I think, of groups around the country that it just is one of those that brings, it's really one that is so well known, and I think it's something that it just is one that has been beloved for many years. So we'll talk more about that show, learn more about that show, and learn more about the people involved tomorrow morning. Also, coming up later on today, we will have more high school baseball. Yesterday, Marathon and Stratford played in baseball in Stratford. And the Stratford Tigers got a 4-0 win in the battle of these perennial powers in the Merriwood South. Today, there'll be round two. Again, Stratford and Marathon, this time in Marathon. Because of the rain that is moving in, they have moved up the start time by an hour and 15 minutes. So the first pitch will be at 3:30 this afternoon. We'll be on the air from Marathon High School starting at 3:20 this afternoon for the big high school baseball matchup with the loss yesterday. Big one for Marathon in order to try to keep pace with the Stratford Tigers in the battle atop the Merriwood Conference South Division. So again, Marathon against Stratford High School Baseball coming up this afternoon, starting with the pregame show at 3:20 and the first pitch at 3:30 here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And real quickly as well, I think I forgot to mention that you can also catch this program on all those sources, but also, again, if you go to our Facebook page or our X page, we have a video stream, and it also has on the bottom a scroll that has our phone number for you to get involved in the program as well. So, again, check us out by going to our Facebook page, the Bow Falls Radio Facebook page, and also the Bow Falls Radio X page as well. And also, again, I want to remind folks that make sure you're tuned in on Fridays for the rest of April and throughout May, because on this show, every Friday, we are going to give you an opportunity to win a pass, an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Beautiful resort.
You don't want to miss it. It's a really fun place.
And real simple. We had a contest that was statewide recently, but this is just on this program here on Bow Falls Radio. So a great opportunity for you to win a chance to be overnight at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. So again, starting this Friday, make sure you're tuned in. Some point during the show, we will ask you to call in and at a certain number caller, and you'll have a chance to win. It'll be this Friday and every Friday through April, and then every Friday through May as well. So starts this week. So make sure, we'll keep reminding you to join us on Friday to have your chance to win with the Chula Vista Resort and Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up next, we are going to talk about a rather wet forecast. Some rain is moving in. Some wind is moving in. We'll get all the details with Brittany Merlot coming up. And then after that, it will be our Outside the Bubble segment with Oliver Burrows. That's all coming up here in the first hour of the program. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. No. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, also you can catch us on our stream, our video stream, both on the Bow Falls Radio page of facebook.com and also x.com. I say xbook.com. No, it's x.com. But you can see our video stream on those two sites and make comments and join the program in that way as well. Again, another pleasant start here in downtown Wausau at our Bow Falls studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Fair skies, temperature of 45 degrees on the back of yet another very nice day yesterday, but things are going to change just a bit, more than a bit, starting later today. And to get all the details on the weather and more, we're joined again by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. How are you so far today?
Doing good. Again, a nice start here in central Wisconsin. Yeah. Enjoyed yesterday being out and about. But again, it's it's this time of year. You're going to have some really beautiful days, and then we're going to get some of that much-needed rain. And in fact, it is much-needed rain after what you talked about yesterday when we were talking about the wildfires.
Yes, we need every bit of this. We're actually still in a very high fire danger right now through a majority of the state. So no burning. We're still dry out there. Temperatures are still going to get mild today. We will hit the 60s, partly sunny skies, but everything's going to change this afternoon. The first change you're going to feel is the wind. We're in a wind advisory that starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon and lasts till 4 a.m. So it's going to start to get breezy first, and then it's going to get vicious. I'm talking you're going to want to secure down some outdoor items. If you have put your patio furniture up already with that nice weekend we just had, you're going to want to bring it in or put it in the garage or anything you can do, because winds are going to be sustained. That's a constant wind of about 30 miles per hour. And then gusts are going to peak at 45 to 50 miles per hour. And that's going to be across the state. I'm imagining a lot of power outages tonight. Mm. Yes. And heavy, heavy rainfall. Now, if you're headed south, I'm just going to give this quick shout out for anyone who's traveling to the southern part of the state. You have to worry about a little bit more severe storm chances there. And those storms are going to pack a punch of hail and also a tornado threat, too. I do have a bad feeling that some tornadoes are going to be starting in Iowa and rolling in to Illinois and also southern parts of Wisconsin. So this is going to be late tonight after 8 p.m. So if you're down in that area, keep that in mind. If you have friends or family, please give them a heads up, too. Otherwise, here for us in Wausau, we're just going to be battling those winds, like I mentioned, gusting up to 50 miles per hour. I think the worst of the wind is, again, going to be around 7 to maybe 10 p.m., and it'll start to ease after that. But winds, heavy rain, 1 to 2 inches of rain, and it's going to come in waves. Mm. There's going to be a first round of heavy rain that'll push in and some rumbles of thunder, maybe around 6 to 7 or so. And we're going to get a little weird break. And after that break is when the stronger storms are going to fire up right around 8 to 9 p.m. More heavy downpours, strong winds still going there. Because what's happening is there's crazy strong winds way up high. And what's going to happen is with those strong, with the rain coming down, it's going to mix those winds to the surface. And that's why we're seeing such big gusts possible. So 1 to 2 inches of rain is likely. That's a heavy hit of rain. So some localized flooding, some ponding on those roads, you know, the good old as you're on the highway or some of those slanted roads, you know, the water piles up on the side, it pulls your car. So two hands on the wheel kind of driving. Get those mud boots, the umbrella. That's what we're in for.
I like your scientific technology. I shouldn't say terminology. A weird break.
A weird break.
Where'd you learn that in your meteorological studies there? A weird break coming up in the early evening hours. But is there any chance of anything severe? Because as you said, when you have, again, the combination here, this still early on with this dryness, you don't want to see that electricity. Is there going to be much lightning, or is this going to be mainly just rain?
I think there is going to be some lightning with this, though. So with the dry conditions in some areas, maybe a few little things might fire up, but the heavy rain should douse any of that. But yeah, I think there's going to be lightning here for us in Wausau. Severe, maybe. I don't think many are going to turn severe here. If it does, it's because of the winds. Because the way this system is lining up, it looks like a bow echo. And the apex of the bow, right, the How do I describe that? Where it's most bowing or pushing, kind of, and that's where you're going to see the strongest winds, and that could be severe warned if it moves through our area. But I do think that'll be more towards Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point. Yeah.
And finally, I guess once we go through this drencher, boy, things look really nice afterwards, don't they?
They do. We have a beautiful weekend ahead. So, I mean, the timing, like I mentioned last week, I'll take the sunshine on the weekend, but it's not going to be as warm.
Very good.
Not at all.
Okay, what are the ultimate details for this very active next couple of days?
Absolutely. So today, partly sunny, highs hit 60. Winds start to whip by this afternoon around lunch. They're going to increase and get pretty vicious by tonight, and that's also when the storms are going to smack us. We're going to see gusts up to 50 miles per hour, heavy rain, 1 to 2 inches, some localized flooding definitely possible. If you live by the rivers, expect some rising as we go through the next few days. It takes a few days for that. For tomorrow, we'll still see scattered showers and thunderstorms still possible, but the severe threat is gone. It'll still be a wet Wednesday. Highs will be in the mid-50s. Winds will be gusting at about 35 miles per hour. So still pretty breezy, but not as vicious. Then by Thursday, we still stay cloudy. Winds are still a bit breezy, but they're calming down. And then the sun, finally, on Friday, we'll get to see it with a high of just 48 degrees. And we hang on to just the upper 40s for Saturday as well, but beautiful sunshine. And then by Sunday, we're going to try to hit the mid-50s again, staying sunny out there.
Very good. Great information. We'll make sure to keep an eye on the sky and try to stay firmly grasped on the ground through these big wind gusts later on today.
But, yes, put some rocks in your shoes.
Exactly right. Brittany Merlot, thank you again.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye, Brittany.
Bye.
That is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, joins us at 8:20 every weekday morning here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Right now in downtown Wausau, again, some clouds moving in, but otherwise fair skies and 45 degrees. The winds are out of the east at 10 miles per hour, gusting as high as 23 miles per hour, so a wind chill factor of 40. The dew point is 27, relative humidity of 49%, the barometer at 30.08 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. The time is 8:28. Coming up next, we are going to step outside the bubble. We're going to have a conversation with a conservative, Oliver Burrows, talk about some of the issues that we are dealing with, and maybe have a discussion on what they're talking about and what they're saying over on the right. So, again, it's from a different point of view. Going to talk about some issues coming up next. But that's right after an information update, news, weather, and sports coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And also you can catch us by going to our Facebook page and our X page, the Bow Falls Radio Facebook and X pages, for a video stream and a chance to comment, and we'll let your voice be heard as well in that form. And also later on in the program, we'll again open up the phone lines and also the text lines as well to join us here on the program. The time is 8:35, again, 45 degrees under right now mostly cloudy skies at our studios in downtown Wausau. And time to step outside the bubble. And again, very happy to welcome back to the program Oliver Burrows. Oliver, good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
It has been, and I was thinking about it, and I thought maybe I had said Cubs win.
No.
That's why I was not invited back.
Oh, no. It's nothing like that. No problems at all. And by the way, I know that, like myself, you're out there covering high school sports on a regular basis. You are the voice of Merrill High School Sports over on WJMT Radio, and you had a long one yesterday, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness gracious, Chad. And it's very interesting. I was talking with Coach Cron. We're going to get a little in the weeds for about 30 seconds. She threw three pitchers yesterday, all of whom are doing all their pitching, she said, on air, or, well, off air, but just with their arms. And the freshman, Hart, three-run dinger with the wind blowing out to center field in the first. She struck out 12, but she walked 10 and hit one. And so they got through three pitchers, and in the eighth inning, leadoff triple, and they stranded her. Mosini got stranded on third, and Mosini is now 11-0, Chad.
Yeesh.
And Merrill scored six runs, which is more than any other team against the Indians all year. And in addition to that, they had rung up four shutouts. And so it was a barn burner. And, you know, today you get a chance to promote. I'm going to be down in Rapids, but they're talking 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts. I can see all the pitchers reporting to the school counselor. I saw nothing but balls.
They're going to be looking at what direction it's going in, right? You know, hey, if it's blowing in, it's like Wrigley in April blowing in, or otherwise it's like Wrigley in July blowing out where it's a bandbox.
Yeah, where are you going to be today, boss?
I am going to be in Marathon again, the back-to-back days of Stratford and Marathon. Yesterday in Stratford, today in Marathon. And, in fact, the game was moved up to 3:30. So I would tell you to keep an eye on things because you never know when they can move up the game, and that's what happened with my game. So
right.
We'll keep an eye on that for you as well. But
kudos to, you know, we both know Steve. Kudos to Steve and to Civic Media. You talk about it. Well, I'm going to blow your horn for you. Only Merrill, well, I should say Wausau Station, doing high school sports. Sorry for that slip.
No, it's all good.
Freud is rolling over somewhere.
No. It's real quickly again. It's important, and I think you realize it. I realize it, and fortunately, our owners realize that part of the responsibility and part of the privilege of having a broadcasting license, these are the public airwaves, is to provide local content, and high school sports definitely falls within that, and I think people that tune in are very appreciative as well. But
that brings up an interesting topic, boss.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our local coverage. You know, you are also now a Civic Media, the only station, you know, not speaking against anybody, not again, that really focuses on some local issues. And you gave coverage with the election. And, you know, I don't know if it's on a list of topics, but we got a new interim superintendent in Wausau.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things happening there that they're disconcerting, but they're also the result of some of the uncertainty that went on going back and forth with that reorganization.
It's real interesting. Let's kind of jump in because it's sort of along those lines. And we had the election 2 weeks ago today. And today is the inauguration of the new mayor in Wausau. They will be organizing the new council, the new Marathon County Board. And, you know, when I was talking about the results of the election and whether you are on the left or on the right, I think there were things that you would say, hey, that was good. And there are things that would be bad. I think that especially like here, especially in Wausau, where you looked at, you had, I would say, the more conservative candidate was the mayor that was elected. But then again, you had some change, a little bit of change on the county board. And also a couple of what you call more liberal candidates on the Wausau School Board, challengers that were elected as well. I saw it as kind of a mixed bag of results in Wausau and Marathon County. How did you see it maybe from your perspective?
Chad, I agree with you totally. It was ideologically inconsistent. Now, I'm not talking about either side.
Right.
You get changes on the school board with candidates who, there were two who were one and done. And Calipari can take his one and done to Arkansas, by the way. But anyway, they were one and done. And I think that the people, and especially when we saw that board meeting, because the reorg comes up again, and we'll see if James Boucher is going to be president again for his last year on the board and whether or not he'll stand for reelection, no one knows. But right now, the people in Wausau have got a lot of uncertainty and a $3.5 million deficit. Now, I happen to have an opportunity to talk to a source about this. A lot of this has to do with the end of the ESSER money and whether or not people should have been talking to administrators to staff to say, hey, yours is an ESSER-funded position, it's done. That's a little bit beyond my pay grade. But I'll tell you this, our leaders are not coming in, these new people, with any ease at all, whether it's the deficit with the school board, and they have to make votes on by 15 May all of the non-renewals. And remember, non-renewals can be either for cause or, and I went through it myself in 21, low enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be in this case because of ESSER money. So a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, we're cutting here. Well, looking up north in Merrill, they lost their referendum, and it was for operating, not for operating purposes, but for reorganizing the buildings, and they lost another referendum. And when I was reading about it, because of my coverage of Blue Jay sports, they cut 20 full-time positions across the board, administrative support in 1 year, and they're still struggling financially. So those who say, well, we got all this money out of the state budget, we needed more, and I can tell you this because of my subbing in DC Everest, classes are, in some cases where I'm subbing, over 30 students. So things have consequences, Chad.
Yeah, let me ask you this, sort of a bigger picture, because I think a lot of those of us that may consider us more towards the left put a finger on Scott Walker on this, going back more than a decade now, when Scott Walker came in, but I think you can actually go back even a little bit further as well. But Scott Walker, in terms of the budgeting and the priorities and what he tried to push through during his two terms in office, has led to a hole that is, you know, even with a year ago last summer when there was more money put into education, and you could say in two different education systems, as somebody that has been involved in education and still a conservative, and I don't know whether or not you would consider yourself a big supporter of Scott Walker's policies in general or not, but as you take a look back, and maybe almost a semi-historical look back, what do you see in terms of the legacy of Scott Walker when it comes to education and now some of the problems that, and you would call it a school district in a conservative area like Merrill is going through right now?
Well, Chad, I will tell you, I was down because of my work with helping build a private virtual school. I was there in the Capitol building during Act 10, and I was out there at 1330, 1:30, when the demonstrators were there at the King Gate and the police were there. I talked to police. They had their riot gear in the basement of the Capitol building. I was there to see it. And what did the people say? Whose house is this? Our house. And I think that reflects what was going on then, because I argued, Chad, that we didn't eliminate the budget deficit with Act 10. We just simply eliminated who paid for certain aspects of health care and retirement. We never addressed the fundamental problem. We just changed who paid for it. Our problem began in the 1990s with the, and I'm going to go into the weed boss, mm-hmm. 30 seconds, primary, secondary, and tertiary funding. And this funding system is so convoluted that administrators struggle with it. And sometimes when they actually do make budget cuts in one of those three areas, it costs them more in another area. So it is an absolute morass for any person who is a business manager in a school district and any superintendent.
Do conservatives want to fund education, though? I mean, you talk about different ways of funding education, but in the end, it still has to be funded in some way. And that's maybe some of the, again, when you talk about the idea of, oh, we don't want to pay for it in this way or that way, but at the same time, things still have to be paid for. I mean, you get what you pay for is the old saying. What is the conservative idea these days in terms of funding? Where should, say, education be funded? Or should it be tightening the belts in all these different ways?
The belief is that we're not getting anything, and that goes back to the issue of test scores, and we could do a whole hour plus and drain a cold, tall pitcher of lemonade on that one. The idea is that we're not getting what we need. Test scores are going down. Students are this, students are that. I have given confidential information that one area high school has a 25% daily absentee rate, another a 33% rate of absenteeism. I can't identify the school in case I did get it wrong because I haven't had a chance to verify it. But, Chad, we've got a serious problem that nobody believes, and I really mean that. I'm not supposed to use the word nobody, but nobody really believes they're getting much for their dollars. And therefore, they want to reduce it because we're not getting anything for it. Chad, I remember when they were going to put school choice in Milwaukee, and I was talking to a third-party person who said, well, Milwaukee public schools, and I'm paraphrasing to be fair, are always going to fail, but if we do it with school choice, they'll fail more cheaply. I thought, what a horrible indictment, that we'll just do this because we're not going to see it anyway, so we'll spend less money. That, I think, is it in a nutshell. Privatize, because then I get the choice, and then I can say I gave you the choice as a conservative legislator. But if we really don't believe we're going to succeed, then we need to go back to use the Monopoly analogy, to go and collect our $200 and start over.
It's a very interesting aspect to it. Again, I think that it comes down to the fact that the state of Wisconsin now is trying to fund two different systems, and I don't think you can do that forever.
Chad, when you take from one system to pay for the other, because you're saying that, not you personally, but
no,
I'm saying that this school is failing, this system is failing, so we'll put some money over here. You're not addressing why the system is failing. And this goes all the way up to Washington, D.C., and we can go back to the Reagan administration. Do we need a federal Department of Education? And you know what? The reason that people say they need it is because we get the money from them. And you remember the famous movie Jerry Maguire, Show Me the Money. And that's what it really boils down to. But that's going to affect the city of Wausau, just to bring it to the broader picture, with all the money they put into the new water treatment plant, and still there's the challenge of PFAS. I mean, Mayor Denny's coming into a very difficult situation. Kale Bushman coming in a very challenging situation. He's got the interim tag to boot. So our leaders are going to need an awful lot of help. And historically, we haven't been given them that, whether it's financially or even with.
And Oliver, we're going to come back in 1 minute, continue this conversation next. The time is 8:49 here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, and also on our Facebook page, our Bull Falls Radio Facebook page, and our Bull Falls Radio X page as well, with a video stream. The time is 8:51. We are stepping outside the bubble with Oliver Burrows. And Oliver, one thing I wanted to kind of touch on here as we now get into 2024 and get closer to the fall elections, we have one thing that I may disagree with you on a number of issues. I think that's not a surprise, but you're very much honest about your thoughts on what you call reproductive issues. I'd call reproductive rights, but I think we put it in an umbrella, reproductive issues. You've said it. You are very much a pro-life, and you are very much always have been very straightforward with it. Recently, we have seen both the presumptive Republican candidate for president and the presumptive Republican candidate for the United States Senate in Wisconsin, I think, try to have it both ways by softening their thoughts on issues of reproduction and perhaps trying to, I think, I would call it be a little bit untruthful in ultimately what they would do if in office. Do you think that Mr. Trump and Mr. Hovde, in terms of trying to soften maybe some of the beliefs on that issue, are being a little bit untruthful to the voters?
Well, I'll go to the strong D word, disingenuous. Vocabulary word of the day on the Chad Holmes Show. I believe, Chad, that this has become such a lightning rod issue that, and I'm going to compare it to something I remember when you and I were together on a daily basis, and you talked about the fact that Scott Walker never said he was going to do certain things, got into office and did them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're alluding
to. You got a good memory, I tell you.
I have my cue cards right here. Anyway, the thing is that I think you've raised a very good point. How far are they willing to say they will go in order to not alienate people? Because I don't believe this is an unfair characterization to say, whether it's the reproductive rights tour of Vice President Harris going to Arizona after that Supreme Court decision upholding their 1864 law. We still have the 1849 law in our books that eventually our Supreme Court's going to look at here in Wisconsin. And now we have the situation with Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, a liberal, who's saying she will not run again. So we're all still around next year. That's going to be a equivalent of a very big campaign bloodbath. So everybody knows exactly what I'm saying.
Right.
But I want to go back to your question, Chad. You're absolutely right that it could be viewed as disingenuous or it could be viewed as cautious. One person's caution is another person's disingenuous. And my concern here is that if the base of the Republicans is not going to be staunchly pro-life, then the question will become, we blur the differences. Remember the old adage, Chad, we run from the edges and govern from the middle. I don't know that we're going to resolve this issue. And it's just like whenever I hear somebody said that the Supreme Court reversed Roe v. Wade or repealed it. No, they didn't. They just turned it into 50 state battles. And I argue unsuccessfully that if the Constitution and we say the preamble counts for we the people, then the issue of posterity has to be addressed in the same way. I haven't won that argument yet. But when you start to compromise on the issues, remember the definition of diplomacy, Chad. When a diplomat says yes, he or she means maybe. When he or she says maybe, he or she means no. And when he or she says no, he or she is not a diplomat. And that's what we're dealing with here. Political diplomacy.
Let me ask you about Eric Hovde, because he is a man that I think a lot of people forget that he had a race with Tommy Thompson for the Republican nomination more than a decade ago. What's your take on him? And when you talk to other conservatives, I'm curious about this, because when I talk to folks, again, this is one reason we're doing this, be outside the bubble, there's this idea that this is just a rich California businessman who is, as you said, being disingenuous with a number of the issues. Are Republicans that you talk to and conservatives that you talk to here in central Wisconsin or around the state of Wisconsin excited about Eric Hovde, and do they think that he has a good chance of unseating Senator Baldwin?
I don't hear a lot of emotional excitement. I don't see it. And I had the privilege of interviewing him when he was running, because I was on my Christian Economic Perspective show.
Sure.
So I had a chance to talk with him. And I see this as being more of what happened with the opponent last time around for Governor Dr. Tony Evers. I think that, again, you're looking at somebody, you named the state. But is this somebody who's really committed to Wisconsin? Now, we won't go back into the argument about former Senator Clinton in New York and all of those other things.
And real quickly, Oliver, I agree 100% that I did not like that then. I did not like it now, the idea of, and it's basically, again, a carpetbagger. I mean, I thought that was wrong back then. So I try to be consistent on that, where, you know, Clinton was wrong and RFK back in 64 was wrong when he went and ran for Senate in New York as well.
Yeah. So the difficulty here is, and I'm going to use a very old story, but it's a true one. In 1984, when I got into the computer industry, the big program that drove PCs was Lotus 1-2-3, and they were out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I called them to talk to the rep for the state of Wisconsin, and they found out they had reps for 49 states and no rep for Wisconsin. True story. That's where we really are right now. Where's the Wisconsinites who will step up and say, I've been here, been there, done that, got the T-shirt and five more in the drawer, and this is what I will do. And the answer is, doesn't seem we got them.
And real fast, we only got a minute left. And one thing that kind of bugged me that Hovde said is that he's not going to take a salary, and basically he can't get bought. And the idea that the only people that can't get bought are rich people kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I just thought, what were your thoughts on that? Do you think that only rich people can be above being bought off?
I've only got 30 seconds, so I'm going to give you a decided maybe, because that seems, when you don't have to take a salary and you can donate it all, that doesn't mean that you don't have voices whispering in your ear to tell you this is the way you want to go.
Oliver, thank you very much. Enjoy your baseball broadcast today, and we'll make sure to make it not as long before we go outside the bubble again very soon.
Absolutely. Final words, though. Cubs win.
Stop it.
Take care, Ted.
That's Oliver Burrows, outside the bubble. We got an information update and then hour two of the program coming up here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.